Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas. I'm Stephen Lang.
And I'm Bobby Norris. How are you, babes?
I am very good. Happy birthday for last Monday. Did you have a nice time?
Oh, thank you. Yes, so lovely. Thank you. Really nice day.
Get any good presents?
Lovely presents, thank you. I spent the day uptown with Mum. We did some shopping and some lunch, which was nice. And then had some dinner with some friends. So, yeah, really, really nice. Thank you. How was your weekend?
God, I can't even remember what I did now. That's probably a bad sign.
Nine of a good one.
Yeah. No, actually, I think I had quite a quiet one. I'm going to make my return to rowing this weekend. I had some friends last weekend who were like, you haven't been in ages. So, and I've got no excuse this bank holiday weekend coming up. So, but I think I went to my gym class. I sort of did some bits of bobs. But yeah, pretty sedate by all accounts. Sometimes I think you need those weekends where you just like don't really make plans.
Refresh.
It was quite nice. And I'm also desperate, this is a bit embarrassing considering I'm a journalist, to get back into reading, because I'm like, I just haven't read a book since like the beginning of the pandemic, which is, and that's not really an excuse anymore because it's been 2.5 years and the worst of it's sort of over. So I've myself a couple of books that I want to read, and I'm going away to Benidorm at the end of September. So yeah, I'm looking for some reading material to sit by the pool. So that was it, really.
Looking forward to a bit of Benners.
Yeah, have you ever been?
Do you know, I've never, ever been. No, I did Celebrity Coach Trip a few years ago. And we started in Barcelona.
Oh, yeah.
And it was basically a coach trip all around Spain. And like the final, if you got to the final, you got to go to Benidorm. But we got kicked off before we got to Benidorm, which I was gutted about, because like I said last week, I love the show Benidorm.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if she still exists, but all I know about Benidorm, apart from the show and obviously the famous scooters that everyone gets, is Sticky Vicky. And I was like, I want to go see Sticky Vicky. And people was like, Bob, I don't even know if she's still popping out ping pong balls anymore. never got to see old Sticky Vicks.
Yeah, I mean, fair. It's got a bit of a reputation, hasn't it, Benidorm? So, but I mean, going there, I don't know. I've actually got a guy I know from Twitter who saw that I tweeted about it and was like, I'm actually going to Benidorm myself, like at the end of August. So he's going to give me some recommendations for like solo things to do when I'm away. So yeah, it's going to be my first solo holiday. So I've got to make some plans, because at the moment, all I'm doing is like looking online and thinking, can I do that by myself? I need to sort of get some stuff sort of booked in, I think.
People say it's a really good thing to do. I've never done a solo trip, not like a proper few days abroad.
Yeah.
But people say it's a really good thing to do.
I think it's like, you know, I'm like long-term single guy. Like, I'm going to say not much potential for that to change in the near future. Who knows what may come around, hit me around the corner, you know, but so I need to sort of get out of my comfort zone a bit, I think. And like, it's if I spend, this is a conversation I have with my friends, like you can spend your whole life waiting for people to like be free to do stuff or like blah blah blah, but if you want to just do it, sometimes you just got to do it by yourself. And I think the older I get, the more I sort of realize that that's the case. Like if I want to go to a gig but none of my friends are into the music, well, I can just go. Like, I mean, it's not like you don't have to wait for people. So, yeah, this is kind of my first jaunt into that. And I've got friends that have been doing it for years and they always really enjoy it. I am a bit of a, I do like socializing. So I think it might be a little bit weird, but also it's just it's an experience, isn't it? So you've got to go with it.
Absolutely, babes. Looking forward to hearing about your tales when you.
Yeah. Well, if I haven't just locked myself in my room and ordered room service for 4 days because I'm too like, oh, I don't like it. But I guess we'll see. Well, we have a very exciting show coming up. We've got pal of yours from Real Housewives of Cheshire, Rachel Lugo, up first. And we also have from Drag Race UK. And now seemingly the Commonwealth Games, I mean, that was pretty impressive. Ginny Lemon, drag queen extraordinaire, on to talk about all things to do with her new album and stuff. So it'd be great. What about the showbiz news this week, Bob? Anything caught your eye?
Yeah, so I think the big thing that I've seen this week, Laura Whitmore announcing that she's stepping down from host of Love Island.
Yeah. What do you think?
She hasn't really given us any more information, has she?
Well, so she did say in her statement. So you know, there's now like a winter series of Love Island, isn't there? So they filmed that in South Africa. That would have meant that for however long it's on for, say 6 to 8 weeks, she would have had to fly from the UK to South Africa every week, you know, and come back and forth.
And she's got a little one now, isn't she?
Yep. And also she's got other projects she's working on and stuff. And I think, well, she said as much, said it was, I think she, the word she used were extremely difficult to sort of make it all work. So yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one, because it's such a big job. And obviously she also mentioned in the statement, she initially only wanted to step in for one series after obviously the sad news happened with Caroline Flack. She was only going to do one series. She ended up doing three. Now there's speculation as well, I've read, that her partner Ian Sterling, who's the voiceover on the show, might leave as well, which would be quite a big hole to fill, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, I've known Laura for years. I've worked with her so much, and I love Laura, I really do. But I completely get what she's saying, because I last saw her, I think a few weeks ago, where was it? I think Soho House Festival. ITV had an area there. Was it there I saw? Somewhere like that, or maybe the ITV summer party. And yeah, it's very much one of them jobs where she was flying in and out of Spain all the time, which is, I mean, that in itself's even demanding, but that's only when it's a 2-hour flight. That becomes a very different ballgame when it becomes South Africa. And as we say, she's got a little one now. And with other projects, I can see how kind of the juggling act of that logistics can't be an easy thing.
Yeah.
I think she's done amazing as a host, actually. I think she's a fantastic presenter. And like you say, yeah, I wonder if Ian will step down as the voiceover, because obviously he's been there since day one. But maybe it's a decision they've made together, so maybe he will. I think for him, I think he does a lot of voiceover. I think his voiceover stuff's done here in the
UK. He can do it here, yeah.
So I don't think he was having to kind of do the commute she was doing. And also, as well as going out to Spain to record the stuff in the villa, she was also then obviously doing After Sun over here as well. So, yeah, I'm interested to see who takes over now. It's a huge show to take on.
Yeah, there's been a couple of rumours that I've seen sort of floating around. There's AJ Adudu, who's obviously on Strictly last year and has recently been fronting the new Big Breakfast. Then there's Emily Atack, and there's even rumours that Ekin Su, who obviously won the most recent series with Davide, is in the running. Don't know, what do you make of any of them?
I mean, I know AJ quite well. I've worked with her quite a lot.
You were on
presenter.
Karaoke Club, weren't you, together?
Yes, we've done Karaoke Club together. We did Apocalypse Wow. We've done a few gigs together. Love her. Again, think she's an amazing presenter. I think she could absolutely do that gig. It's interesting because I do think it's such a huge show that it's what an opportunity to get whatever presenter gets to host that is like going to be loving life. What a gig. That's the phone call every presenter probably wants. But I'm interested to see who takes it on.
I'm getting up the odds. So I'll see who.
Who else is on there? Is it just them three so far?
No, there's actually quite a few, although some names I don't recognise. So Maya Jama is currently number one in the odds.
She'd be good.
I can see that, definitely. There's Sophie Monk, which I think she's an Australian presenter. I think she presents the Australian version of Love Island. And there's Ekin Su, Emily Atack, Arielle Vandenberg. Now, I think she... Does she do the American one?
No, I think she's taken over from AJ. If I'm thinking of the right Ariel, she thinks she's took over AJ's role on Apocalypse Wow.
Ah, right, okay.
She's the host, the Love Island podcast.
Got it.
And does radio.
That would make sense then, yeah, it would make sense. Good connection. Then Maura Higgins, obviously former contestant herself. Rylan Clark, interesting shout. And then Chris Hughes and Kem Kitane, who were both on the show previously as well. So, I don't know, I could see any of those. One of the outside ones.
Will go to a female?
Good point. There's nothing to say they couldn't have two presenters, really, is there? They couldn't have a man and a woman, really.
Okay. I wonder when it will be announced.
Probably not very long, really. I mean, the reason why I imagine it was announced now is because they'll already be thinking about the winter version, which starts in January, right? So they'll be wanting to make sure that things and plans are in place and that. So, yeah, I think, which is a funny thing to say because it's still August, but won't be long before it'll be the nights are already drawing in. So, and we've got the Strictly lineup. You know, it's basically autumn's here now. Summer's over, Bob. I mean, it'll be interesting to it'll be a very coveted job. So I expect there'll be lots of speculation in the coming weeks.
Sure. And the minute it's announced, we'll definitely be talking about it on here for sure.
100%. Maybe we could even get them on. Who knows? Yeah,
watch this space. What about you, babe? Anything caught your eye in the old land?
I have to say, Jennifer Lopez's three wedding dresses that she unveiled. So, I mean, you know, she had like her and Ben Affleck obviously had this sort of Las Vegas ceremony, didn't they? Which was obviously supposed to be very small and private. And I didn't think they had anyone with them. This like big celebration wedding in Georgia in America was quite the opposite. She had three wedding dresses. There was helicopters overhead trying to get pictures of her. There was celebs and, you know, all this stuff going on. I feel like that's the J-Lo we expect rather than the one we got with the Vegas.
I mean, it did make me laugh because when I saw it, I remember us speaking on the show a few weeks back. I mean, literally the first show we did after it was announced. Mm. I love that they've kind of, bearing in mind how huge they are, we're talking A-list, and they've got a couple of quid behind them, let's have it right. And I was like, I love that they've just gone to the chapel on the strip, done it. The photos are like they were just done on an iPhone.
Like, there was
no magazine deal to it, no huge thing. It was just like, let's just go do it. And then when I saw that, I was like, this is kind of what you expect. And no tea, no shade.
No.
I mean, this is Hollywood, let's have it right. But it did make me laugh because there was us going, oh, I kind of love that they've just gone and done this little low-key thing. But every bride wants their moment.
I mean, she's had her moments multiple times before. Yeah, I mean, and fair enough. I mean, apparently in his speech, Ben said, well, he referenced the fact that they were engaged 20 years ago, and he obviously pulled out, or it kind of fell apart not long before they were due to get married last time. So, I mean, that was one thing. I wonder if they feel a little bit, or if their friends and family feel a little bit weird about it, or if they're just happy and they think it's like happily ever after, or if they're like, you were a bit of an arsehole 20 years ago. What's changed?
Well, I'd like to think because he did pull out, or whatever happens, we don't obviously know the ins and outs allegedly 20 years ago, but I'd like to think that he got his American Express out and he picked up the bill this time. Because if I was Jenny, I'd go, babes, I've had your back, but this one's on you now.
Well, I'm sure he wouldn't be too put off by that, because the funny thing is, the kind of richer people are, right? I always think they end up getting more stuff for free. So yeah, she probably won't have had to pay for those dresses, because they know that the amount of publicity, Ralph Lauren know the amount of publicity they're going to get from her posting about it will cover any costs that...
Every designer in the land would have been throwing their designs and dresses at her going, please wear out. It's a walking billboard, isn't it? You can't get a celeb wearing your designs. And especially wedding dresses, they're iconic. They live forever, don't they? So every top
designer wants. Must have three.
I mean, if they're on the house, why not?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, but then,
I think that's even not just a Hollywood thing now. I think it's quite a popular thing for a lot of brides to have at least two outfit changes now.
Yeah, it's a good point actually, and it's funny because when did that begin?
Well, I think a lot of brides, I think especially back in the, I think you can always age people's weddings. You can tell roughly what decade they was married by dresses.
Yeah, 100%.
You can tell an 80s and 90s. After Kate Middleton, you can see the people that all went for the lace.
Yeah, true.
I think probably the big meringue ones would have been a mare to dance in. And also, imagine trailing around on a dance floor, people's Jaeger bombs all on the floor and Stella all up the side and apple sours. So I think brides probably thought, fucking hell, we've spent a fortune on this dress. A, I don't want to ruin it. And B, I want to wear something that I can slut drop in.
Yeah, totally hear that. And also, I think there's also a bit of a, I've noticed some people I've seen that have been getting married sort of in their sort of late 30s, early 40s, less actual wedding dresses and more sort of like Oscars style dresses, just really beautiful. Like I had a friend who got married in a gold sequin dress, you know what I mean? With the genuinely looked like something you'd wear to the Oscars. So there's less rules than there used to be, right? About what you can, and lots of people that have said to their bridesmaids, wear whatever you like. Like there's not even a color scheme. Do you know what I mean? Just whatever you're comfortable in. And I think that's great. I mean, you can either be super like controlling about it, but that makes it sound bad, but you know what I mean? You know what you want, or you can be totally free and it's kind of anyways fine these days.
Because, yeah, I think, obviously, I'd say a huge percentage probably still are white or white,
off-white.
But as years go on, I mean, you see all colours. You see, like, reds. Mm-hmm. I've seen black wedding dresses, gold wedding dresses. But I think the kind of rule book's been thrown out.
But Jennifer Lopez was not, she was keen to stand by the rules because she had three white wedding dresses. Now, I know the initial reason for people to wear white was because they were virgins. I think the jig is up there. She does have twins. but, you know, again, that's, it's her wedding. She can do what she likes, right?
Absolutely. And I think for a lot of girls, obviously not generalising that all girls do, but a lot of girls from a very young age in their head know what wedding dress they want. And I think a lot of people's visions are they want that white dress. Mm-hmm. And let's have it right. We live in different times now. There ain't many people that are virgins until their wedding. You know what I mean? A lot of people like to try before they buy. And I'm not mad at that. You kind of want to know what you're getting. Do you know what I mean? That's just me.
But I was very upset that obviously our invites got lost in the post for that, because I would have been quite happy to fly to Georgia and join 150 other people to go to that wedding. But there you go, these things happen.
Definitely. What's your thoughts on, I see it's been announced that Simon Cowell's America's Got Talent's been cancelled.
Yeah, it's not the big show. It was like a side show that they were doing, which was like more extreme ones. I was actually, when I saw the news, I actually initially thought it was America's Got Talent. I do wonder if these shows have sort of had their day a bit. We were discussing before, I think with Joe McElroy even last week, like X Factor and things, whether or not they're still big shows, big draws, right? You know, like Britain's Got Talent, still massive draw for ITV, but the numbers have dropped in recent years, and I don't think you can really get around that. All TV shows, no one's watching as much linear TV, you know, sort of sit down on a Saturday night TV as much as they used to. And I do wonder, it's probably a sign of the times that you can't keep making these shows forever. And I wonder, because there's a rumour that Simon wants to start up a new one that's just about magicians. I wonder how much popular appeal that has. But then again, I remember when I was younger, you know, Paul Daniels had, God rest his soul, had a big Saturday night show, you know, where he was doing magic and stuff. So Maybe there is.
Yeah, and old Debbie McGee was there.
Yeah.
Just loving life.
Glamorous Debbie McGee.
Yeah, they Quins.
Yeah. So I wonder, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think they've kind of had their day, or do you think there's something in them left still?
It's a hard one, isn't it? I definitely think if they're to stay, things need to evolve. I think we live in very different times to 20 years ago, just going back to J-Lo. Because I guess a lot of them shows were probably around that time, maybe. I don't know how long BG. It's got to be about 20, isn't it? And like when you look at the X Factors and all them kind of shows. And like we said, bless him, Darius. So that was 20 years ago. I think Pop Idol and Pop Stars, that kind of stuff. I definitely think we're in different times now. But as a whole, what do I think about talent shows? I mean, there's no denying we've seen some incredible talent, which
100%.
The likelihood is we was never going to see Suzanne Boyle any other way if it wasn't for BJT. Do you know what I mean? I think certain people go on to these shows and go on to have amazing careers. But it is a hard one because, TV's changed and I think the world's changed.
I guess the good thing with like the Got Talent series is that it's not just singers, right? You've got like your musicians and dancers and magicians and pets and comedy.
You get a right mixture. I mean, God rest his soul, I think he's passed over now. But little Pudsey.
Pudsey the dog, yeah.
Yeah, bless him.
I met him a couple of times. Yeah, I did. He was very, very well behaved. When I worked at Star Magazine, he came in and I can't remember what was her name? Pudsey and
Ashley.
Ashley, that was it. She was getting him to do all these tricks and stuff, but I was like trying to interview her. It was all just like, can we just sit down for a minute?
Doing the can-can with a boa.
Yeah, basically. But she was really lovely as well. It's funny, I mean, I guess, there's been a lot of lacks over the years that have done really well. Look at like diversity and people like them, they're...
This is what I mean. So I think for the right act, I mean, like the clues in the top, I guess, for these shows, if someone's got talent, showbiz land is big enough and what a platform and a stage to showcase that. And I do think maybe like you said, the fact is diverse in the acts are different. Because, I mean, there is no Garrett talking to dogs, can you, my little baby girl.
Okay.
She ain't won me £250,000 yet. Oh, maybe I'll get her on BJT. I'll be like, dance, baby girl, dance.
She's just like...
I'll have to call Ashley up and see if she can train her.
Yeah, good idea.
But, I mean, there was no guarantee. I'm trying to think, was they called One True Voice, the band that went up against Girls Aloud when they were trying to get the Christmas number one? I mean, bless them. Never went on to have the success, obviously, that Girls Aloud had. And that was even a show of its time. So even though there was a show that was going out to that many millions of people back then, unless people was truly invested, I mean, Girls Aloud went on to have the most amazing career, didn't they?
Yeah, totally true. Yeah, there wasn't even really a guarantee that Girls Aloud would have been successful. Do you know what I mean? There's just, I guess it's a big gamble to put yourself in the hands of like, as we've talked quite often about, TV editors who may edit you in a certain way you're not happy with. And that's a gamble that people are probably less and less willing to take now when they've got platforms of their own. I mean, look at Sam Ryder, who represented the UK at Eurovision. He made his name on TikTok. And that's really entirely on his terms, So, there's a lot to be said for it. I wonder if those days are gone. Well, we've lost X Factor. We've lost this America's Got Talent sideshow. So, maybe it's a different time now. I can talk about this tonight because I find it fascinating. But we do have our first guest, Rachel Lugo, here. So let's get her in.
Here she is. We're both in bed, Rach.
I spend all my time in bed if I can.
How are you, Rach?
Good, how are you?
Really good, thank you. Really good. It's lovely to see and speak to you. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. I don't feel getting very glamorous today. I've had all my hair taken out. Nick's whisking me off to Italy on Friday, so I thought might as well, have it out so I can swim in the sea and everything.
You look very glamorous, though.
I don't feel it, but thank you.
You look flawless, babe. You look flawless. Oh, I bet you can't wait for a bit of Italy. I've never been. Whereabouts are you going?
We're flying to Pisa. We're having a day in Pisa, and then we're going to a vineyard for a night, and then we're going to the Amalfi Coast.
I am jealous.
He's planned it all. I've no idea where we're going or where we're staying. He's planned it all.
Goals. He ain't got a brother, has he, Rach?
He has, but he's taken.
Damn. So talk to him. I've got to ask you about the new series. Obviously, it's just started, isn't it? It's just gone
live. Episode one's already aired, yeah. Oh, my God, it's so good this season. We're all buzzing about it. It's just got a different feel to it. It's so, so, so good. And I think, as well, we've been abroad and COVID stopped us going away for three seasons. And although we had trips, it just not the same as when we all got on a flight. We've got the sun and we're just there to our own devices.
So what feels different about this one?
I feel we've got like different producers, which has got a bit of a different take on it. They grab us when we're not looking or when we think maybe we're not on camera. Now it's literally access all areas. If you've said it, chances are, and it's juicy, there's no way out of it. I mean, there never was anyway, but you know what I mean? There were certain times where you knew you were kind of like down and not, you know, not part of anything. But it's good though. It's got a more natural feel to it.
I was going to say, because the few times I've done a cameo on your show, I always found it very, very real, especially for a reality TV show, because there was never was going, oh, you're going into a scene. The cameras were literally just picking up what was going on. Whereas yeah, a lot they do. Of reality they, shows, you're they, going into a scene and you're kind of being produced.
Oh, yeah, no, they follow us all the time. There's always things going on. So, you know, they do. They are everywhere. Like, I always go to them, always watching.
And do you like the fresh blood in the new production?
Yeah, I do. I think it's really good. But it's funny, though, because when we do the interview, the interviews in the chair, like our confessionals, there's a lot of time we'll say something and then we'll, under our breath, say something else. Well, that can all be used now. Like, and you know, we can be quite bitchy at times that we may not necessarily want it all to be heard. I know.
I'm excited for it. I'm so excited. You know, I'm such a huge fan of the show. Can you give us any spoilers, Rach?
I mean, I think a lot of you kind of know. Well, there's no spoiler. Is she in yet at this point? We have a new housewife.
How she settled in.
It was interesting.
It always is when new people come into the show, though, right? There's always something.
Well, no, hers was interesting because she couldn't understand why we were all like, oh, my God, Lauren lived with him for like 3 years. You know, they were together. And to us, that was a completely new thing. We'd never had that.
Yeah, could you explain it a bit more to anyone that hasn't seen it or doesn't know?
Okay, yes. So Katie is our newest housewife. Mm-hmm. And her husband, Lauren, used to date and live with in her younger years. And it's a long time ago. It is. But we are big kids that are just like, oh, my God, really? Like, oh, so you've seen his and you've done that with him. And she was like, this is ridiculous. Yes, it was ridiculous. But to us, I mean, it was like fodder to us.
And has he done any cameos? I'm guessing they've got a scene or an event, surely, where they bump in and they've got something, haven't they?
He's on it quite a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And do the two of them have a conversation about yesteryear and their past relationship? And how's that now between the girls? Is it awkward or have they become friendly?
Oh, you will have to watch to see that play out.
But there have also been some people that have left, hasn't there, haven't they?
Has that made for a bit
of a different atmosphere as well?
Yeah, it does. I mean, you know, obviously I miss the girls when they leave because you're not just filming with them. They're your friends. Mm. You know, you do a lot. You make a lot of memories together. But also when you have got new people coming in, your mind is then kind of taken away from that and you've got to get straight into, oh, my God, who is this girl? Like, do I have to be cautious? Do I have to more watch myself? Is she nice? Do I get on with her? And actually, me and Katie really gelled. I really liked it. But obviously there was my loyalty lies with Lauren. And she was upset, and yeah, you just have to watch.
Does Lauren know pre-filming? I know a lot of shows, you never know who's joining generally, do you?
No, we have no idea.
So it was never leaked to you. So the first Lauren sees of Katie, did she know from the bat that they're now married? Or did she have to find
Yes, they all still know of each other. You'll have more of an understanding of how it kind of the dynamics are. It's all kind of explained, but as we are never told who's coming into the show. And I think they love the look on our face going, are you actually joking me? So they're not going to tell us.
No, because, they want the natural reactions. Yeah. Oh, God, I bet Lauren's face when she walked in, because she was obviously to know what was going to come. She obviously knows he's going to end up filming.
Yeah, yeah, but there's more to it than that. There's more reasons for upset than that.
This sounds like it's going to be an amazing series.
Yeah, what about your storyline in this series? What can we expect from you?
I mean, obviously, there's more of me and Nick, because we show a lot of the difficulties of a blended family,
mm-hmm.
Which is interesting for people to see, because people have seen the, I was married, and then they watched the whole breakdown of that. And then they actually saw Nick ask me to go on our first holiday on the show, and they kind of watched our relationship grow. But with that is the complications of he's a single parent to his two children. I'm pretty much a single parent to my five children. And how do we all come together?
Hard, really hard.
It's hard. And even as far as I'm concerned, I don't want to overstep the mark as far as obviously Nick's widowed. And I'm not very good anyway at putting myself out there and putting myself forward and going, hi, what can I do? I stand back. And if I'm asked, I'll do something. So I just feel like I'm maybe a little bit distanced from his children, and that's purely because I don't know where the line is. I don't want to overstep the mark of, they're not looking for a mom, So do I play friend or I don't know. So you kind of see that. And then obviously you see my whole life changing because of, my daughter is pregnant.
Yeah, I was going to say congratulations. That must be wild. How do you feel about it?
I mean, it happened sooner than I thought. you see a lot of me talking to Sophia, as any mother would, the worries about what life faces. But then also any child is a blessing. It's a gift. And we are where we are. And, let's come together. I can't hug Hannah when she announced it to me and say, it's okay, don't worry, it's going to be okay, and then not do the same to my daughter.
Have you had the conversation yet what you want to be called? Are you Nan? I can't see you as a gran. Or are you Grandma?
I completely agree with... So my mum was given the option of Granny or Nana. She had the first option and she chose Granny. And I have to say, I was like, what? You're choosing Granny? Like, it's knitting with a ball of wool and a blue...
Yeah, it automatically adds 90 years, doesn't it?
So there was no chance I was going to be called Granny. But I'm also not one of those where I want them to call me Rach or, my children still call their aunties Auntie Kay, Auntie Nikki, and they're in their 20s. So I am going to be a Nana.
Nice. Yeah, that's nice. I think Nana better than Gran. Well, not better, because people that are called Gran, that's lovely.
I'm not me. Do I look like a Gran?
No, you completely don't. No. I was just thinking, I think she's got a name. I think they call her Lovey. I'm just thinking of what Kris Jenner's all her grandkids call her. She's definitely not a gran, but I think they call her Lovey or something, because that's the thing. Now people
want... I don't want that. I am what I am. I'm a mummy.
That is nice. Yeah, well, I love that. When's she due, Rach?
January 11th.
How exciting.
She's probably about halfway through now then, is she?
She had a 20 week scan today.
God, how's she feeling?
She's okay, actually. Excited, she has ups and downs, worries and whatever else, but, I'm here for her.
Does she know what she's having?
Little girl.
Oh, congrats, mate.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
and
no,
she's already sitting in exciting names.
Pardon?
Is she already sitting there deciding names?
She's already got a name. I can't say.
Love that. She's organised.
Yeah, that is really organised. 20 weeks, wow.
Girl after me, oh no.
Yeah, yeah.
So you mentioned the foreign trip that you went on the show. Where was it you went?
We went to Malta.
I went there last summer. It's so nice, isn't it?
It's so beautiful. I mean, I hadn't been there for nearly 30 years. Mm. It's my third time there. It was very different to when I went the first time. I had no money. I was a tour guide, actually, for old age pensioners on a bus around Malta.
Oh, my God, I love that.
I love that.
Actually, you might get to see a little bit of me recreating that.
Amazing.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place, isn't it? But I imagine you brought some drama.
To be fair, there was an awful lot of drama going on. Somebody has got to kind of be a little bit of the grown-up. And Party Rach came out in Malta. Me and another housewife, we went partying after hours. We had a lot of fun.
Love that. Right, what does Nick make of the whole crazy world of reality TV? I mean, I guess he doesn't know any different because he was on the show when you met, but has he kind of adapted and accepted it?
Yeah, I think he's still surprised when he gets recognised. You know, he's just been away with the kids by himself and on the plane and the resort. He still thinks it's a little bit like, what? How? Like, I'm like, well, you've not been funny. You've been on the TV for nearly 2 years. So, but there's some things I think he gets annoyed that next episode, there was something that I said that he was not happy with at all. But I've got to speak from the heart, and the cameras are watching me speak to my girlfriends about things. And if you ever put a fly on the wall, listening to a conversation between women, there's going to be things they're not happy about, but it's me talking from the heart, and I can't help that. You know, I've got to say it as it is, otherwise I'm not being true to myself or the show.
Of course. And if you worked in a bank or a supermarket, then conversations would happen. It's just that your job is on TV and there's cameras there. So
there's a lot of things that we wouldn't want people to hear that we say, even when we have a rant about someone, you know. Yeah. But unfortunately for us, when that happens, when we're mic'd on camera, it does get out there, which is why there's always so much drama, because we're quite loose-lipped as a group.
And do you still love it, Rach, the show?
I still love it, honestly. I am so lucky to be doing this. I mean, the trip away, we've got private jets, we've got yachts, it's insane. It's just brilliant. I do, I love it. And I love hanging out with girls. I'm a real girls girl. You know, stick me in a group of girls and I'm absolutely fine. Guys, not so much. I think they're pretty alien, but
not the guys.
Yeah, not the guys. What are you trying to say?
It's the convent school education in me. I just, you know, I'm much more comfortable around girls.
And you know, I love a reunion. I mean, it's one of my favourite parts.
Yeah.
What's the situation? Because obviously, the more dramatic a series, obviously, the more dramatic the reunion.
Yes.
When is yours planned? Because are you still currently filming, or is that whole series in the can now?
We're all done. We are all done this season.
How long have you got till reunion?
We've done the reunion.
Oh, and how was that?
Oh my God, it's always so funny because like everyone's just on edge waiting for some issue that they've had be brought back up. And it's trying to stop it from kicking off so much in the first part that we have no second, third and fourth part.
Because if someone gets up and walks off, you're like, no, come back, we've got three more parts.
Do you mind that side of it, like all the arguments and stuff?
So when I first joined the show, I had to push myself out of my comfort zone to be confrontational. Mm. It's not something that comes naturally to me. But I am so happy that I am now able to do that, because when you've spoken your mind, you feel much happier as a person.
Mm.
You know, you're doing less bitching behind people's back and you actually say, no, you're out of order. So whereas I used to get very worked up and anxious, now I'm like, bring it to me. If I've said it, I'll own it, maybe. You know, just bring it to me and I'll deal with it. There is nothing I can't deal with. I might lose it. I might start screaming. But, you know, just bring it to me.
So because you've already filmed the reunion and EP1's only gone out, how have they sent you the whole series to watch? Because I guess you girls, you need to know everything that's been said about you so you can go in there knowing who you're going for, what's going to come your way. Because you kind of, you've got to be a bit prepared for a reunion. If you've had a bit of a sticky season, you know you're in for it, don't you?
Because there's scenes that we're not all involved in. So there are things that are said that we don't necessarily know. And, you know, so yes, we do get to watch. We didn't watch all of it, but we watched the majority of it. So we kind of were a bit like, oh, I heard what you said, you know. But this was one of the issues why Lystra and I fell out so badly last season. She watched something because we were airing as we were filming. And she watched something way back. We're on like 10. She watched something from 1 or 2 and went ballistic at me. And I'm like, oh, my God. But you know, how much sense it made to the viewer, I'm not sure. But it's because she watched something.
8 episodes before. So timeline-wise, it doesn't make sense to carry on going into ep 11.
Well, no, it did. It kind of did because they had watched it. She'd watched it as they'd watched it. But her reaction was so far off.
Because obviously you're a season pro now, Rach. Do you know when you turn up to a reunion, when you're told who's sitting where on the sofa, can you work out, right, you're in for a naughty reunion? But there's always them kind of seats and who's separated and who's opposites.
Right, so I'm normally in a certain room with certain people, and I never really think too much about, oh, they're on my sofa, until this time round I arrived and I went into my normal room and, you know, I sat down, I was like, hey, girls, and then they're like, Rachel, you're not in this room, and I'm like, wait, but they're my girls, and they're like, no, you're in this room, and it wasn't until about an hour later, I'm like, wait.
Penny drop.
Hey, is that one sofa? Is this the sofas?
It must be wild to know, basically, then to know what's coming up. Well, Rachel, where can we catch Real Housewives?
So it's on ITVB, 9 p.m. on a Monday. If you miss any episodes, you can catch up on the Hub, but don't miss it because there's something very exciting coming at the end of the year, and you need to be fully up to date.
Ooh, okay, dead exciting. Well, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Really appreciate it.
And thanks, guys. No problem. Take care of yourselves. It's nice chatting.
Thanks, Rach.
You too.
Enjoy it, Tilly. Love to the fam.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Bye,
you
Dolly.
Too. Bye.
Bye. The Real Housewives, because you've been on it, haven't you?
Yeah, but I've done a few cameos on there. So I'm intrigued to see how this series pans out, because as I was saying, I've turned around a few times and I'm like, we're filming, because you just kind of, obviously you've got your mic on, you go into, they're legit just got cameras all around and they're filming everything.
Yeah, so
right. Now saying, no holds barred, everything's game on. I already felt like everything was game on.
Clearly not.
So that's going to make for an interesting watch.
Yeah, definitely. Well, can't wait to see it. Our second and final guest, Ginny Lemon, is here. So let's get him in.
Hello.
Hello.
Hiya, Babs.
Ginny, how are you doing?
Babe. Yeah, I'm good. How is you?
Gorge. I'm fully loving the absolute, obviously, we know you're fully into the yellow, but that wardrobe behind you, that is impressive. That takes some work.
What, this? I know it looks like my teeth, doesn't it? Just a set of yellow things.
That is a fab lemon palette there, all lined up.
Absolutely gorgeous. I want to say congrats, because it's been quite the month for you, really, isn't it?
Oh, I've been all over the shop this month, haven't I? I've been everywhere. It's been very good. I've been feel very, very blessed.
Tell us about the Commonwealth Games, because that just seems like was such an incredible opportunity.
It was amazing. You know, I think it was one of the best things I've ever done.
How did it come about?
Well, I was contacted by the director and Iqbal Khan and one of the producers, and they basically were kind of selling the idea to me, and I was like, okay. But it wasn't until they said, oh, and you'll be coming down on a giant lemon hot air balloon, that I was like, okay, then now I'm in. Now you've sold me, you know?
Where do I sign?
Yeah, exactly. Where do I put the X? Where do I put the potato sprint.
Does it take, do you have to do a lot of rehearsing for stuff, something like that? Or is it something you just have to kind of, I don't really know how it works.
It was lots and lots of rehearsals. I think I had about, I mean, with recording and writing sessions and all that, so I think I had about 15 sessions in total. So it was a lot of work. And I mean, the most amazing thing about the Commonwealth Games is that all of the volunteers throughout the West Midlands that kind of gave up their time. So it wouldn't have been possible for those really dedicated people of the Midlands who love it so much and are so proud from being from here. That's why it was such a success, really.
Gel, I want to do it one time. I had friends that were in the Olympics 2012 and they were like obsessed afterwards. Like, because once you know what goes on behind the scenes, it's like a completely different ballgame, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, completely. And I think technically it makes me an athlete, right?
Yeah, why not?
I'll put that on the CV.
Hot air balloon, the new competition in the.
Exactly.
Mo Farah, who?
Yeah. But you've also got a new album out as well.
I have, yeah, Tonic, which was released a couple of weeks ago. It's kind of my, it is what it says in it, on the tin, you know, it's my tonic. And the way I decided to administer this tonic was through your ears. So I'm kind of letting the tonic work, you know, the past couple of years that we've had, and it's all been very shocking for everyone. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of my healing process, part of my healing process. As soon as I stepped off that, what do you call it?
Runway.
It's been so long. As soon as I stepped off that, I just started writing this album, you know, and then lockdown happened, and then, you know, God knows what else happened. So it really is my tonic.
So did you find that quite a cathartic process by putting like pen to paper and writing lyrics and things and kind of emotionally offloading?
Yeah, that's the way I tend to deal with most things. Is I tend to emotionally, if I've got something which I can't quite pinpoint, I try and put it in a song. It's always been my kind of therapy, really. And performance art has always been my therapy, but it's only been recently that people pay me to do that.
Well, and also, obviously, you know, you kind of hinted at it, but like you came off of Drag Race and it was basically the lockdowns happened, right?
So yeah, we went straight into lockdown. I basically had my big break sat in the front room, and, you know, and it was again another year until we were free, really, because it aired in the January of 2001. Was it, I think, or I can't remember. About a year ago now. And I was the only time I kind of got to feel the benefits of my fame was going to the supermarket, and when I was allowed out, you know, well, that 20 minutes you were allowed to walk.
Yeah, when you were standing in the queue outside Tesco.
Yeah, with a mask on, you know, cowering, petrified I was going to die.
But you've managed to obviously get back out there, do performances and get back out of the bars and perform and stuff. How's that been?
It's been amazing. You know, I was very a prolific live performer before Drag Race. The lockdown for me, it was so hard because not only was I not performing, I was also then judged on a different level. You know, I was a woo girl or whatever. So it was kind of like, just get me out there. But as soon as the gigs could happen, I was out, and I haven't stopped since. Basically, I've just been here, there and everywhere. And as I said before, I just feel so blessed and lucky that I can get out there and keep performing. And I've done such amazing shows as well. It's been great.
And the thing as well, like you say, although obviously as it was going out and you was just stuck in the front room, taking a benefit from that is that so many people watch that show that might not have just been binging TV. So not that you'd wish a global pandemic on the world.
But so that you can become more famous.
For viewing figures, yeah.
But, you know, in a way, it's kind of by the fact people can get out and about it and people haven't been out to see people, the need and the thirst is there more than ever.
Yeah, I think they're gagging to kind of, I mean, season two of Drag Race was, from what people say to me, is probably one of the most beloved Drag Race seasons ever. So it wasn't really until when we did the season two tour at the beginning of the year is that I could kind of feel that energy and get that energy back. And people tell, you know, how much they loved it. And then that kind of put everything into perspective for me because, you know, I was just sat at home being pissed off, miserable and whinging about everything and probably saying things I shouldn't have said about the BBC or RuPaul.
Well, this is what I was going to ask you about. Do you have, I mean, because everyone comes off of not just Drag Race, but really any reality show and will have opinions and thoughts about what happened to you. But you were quite vocal and about what you thought about the show and the process and stuff. How do you feel about what you said now? Do you have any regrets, or are you pleased you said it?
I mean, I have regrets because I didn't get as much work as some of the other girls because I was too honest, blabbing me mouth. So I suppose if I'd have just been a bit faker and played the game a bit more, I'd be a lot more successful, but then I wouldn't be true to myself, would I? So,
but success is also relative because not everyone got to do the Commonwealth Games or gets to release an album, you know?
If I'd have shut my mouth a bit more, maybe my bank balance would be a bit better. And I'd get a few
that's
more
what you mean.
I'd hustle, you know, when they're like, oh, look, it's the Drag Race girl, and it's usually, you know, Tia or Lawrence or something like that. Maybe I would have got a few of those gigs. Yes and no. I think I wish I was in a better situation, but because of lockdown and because of how it all went, I think my anger was slightly misplaced. But also, I was just being honest about my experience. And if you can't handle me being honest, then go fuck yourself. Like, who cares?
And also, when you put your head on the pillow at night, being able to speak your truth and be honest, that's important. Do you know what I mean? So never question thinking, oh, if I'd have been faker or shut my mouth, because actually I think people appreciate people being more authentic more than someone telling bullshit lies.
Yeah I mean, I know what you mean, as I think people do, but I don't think studios do.
Yeah, it's a complicated one, isn't it? And I think and Drag Race obviously has complicated history with a lot of that, with all over the world, you know, people who've had different experiences and come out of it probably not how they wanted or
my biggest downfall was kind of getting involved too much. You know, I didn't really watch it beforehand. I went on it and then I had an opinion on it. But really, I should have just just been like, yeah, done it, done now, lovely, and carried on, you know. But I had 2 years of, you know, a year of being like, oh God, is this thing even going to, is it worth it? I spent all my life savings on this. Am I going to get a really, are they going to sister me and really bad edit me? Or are they going to, you know, give me a, but in the end, I think they didn't really do me a dirty. I think I was just a bit of a miserable bitch, really.
In terms of editing, do you kind of feel that you wasn't done too bad?
No, I don't. To be honest, I don't think the editing was too bad. But you have, when you watch yourself on television, I've only watched the show once and I watched it when it aired. So I've never seen it since. I don't know kind of what happened since then. And my initial reaction was like, oh my God. Because all I saw myself was crying and talking about being non-binary. And that's not what I went on there to do. I went on there to make people laugh, to be outrageous and to have a great time. And then I just, you know, cried and then walked off and got known as like the biggest quitter ever. So I was like, whatever.
I don't think that's how it came across to most people. And also, talking about like non-binary stuff, it's actually like a lot of people, they won't know the stuff, and you actually sort of what even the word means. So you would have at least brought attention to it and stuff.
It was the first time on British TV or on TV in the world, to my knowledge, that two non-binary people were talking to each other what it's like to be non-binary. So the representation was kind of great for so many other people.
And you should be proud of that.
I'm incredibly proud of that. And it's probably one of the shining lights out of being on that. However, I would have liked to have also just been known for like being having a great time and regardless of any labels, you know?
That's
true. Fucking fun and fabulous. And because I don't like labels, I don't like to be labeled. I'm proud to be non-binary, but that's it then, isn't it? People just know me as like, oh, non-binary drag queen.
There's
like,
more to you. You mean it's not just one facet. It's just one facet of your personality.
Exactly.
Does it put you off watching it? Like, did you watch season 3? Are you pretty much done with it?
No, it hasn't put me off. I mean, I'm really looking... I've got to be careful what I say, haven't I? But I'm really looking forward to season 4 because of a lot of my friends are on that show and a lot of people that I've worked with. But obviously season 3 was a bunch of unknowns at the time. I only knew Scarlett from serving double vodka cokes at the Admiral Duncan. And I knew Victoria Scone from working with her. So I only knew those two, really. So I was like, well, I can't be asked to watch it. It was a bit PTSD. It was a bit too soon. And you know, it came out very quick after Hours. And I've heard those horror stories as well. But, I mean, but I'm really quite excited for season four because I said like quite a few established and there's more of a diverse kind of range of drag on there. So I'm quite excited for that one and I will watch it. But no, I didn't watch the one, couldn't be asked.
Well, so you've got you had the Commonwealth Games, you've got album and you're also going on tour, I believe, right?
Yes, yes, me and sister, I've got a tour. I'm kind of putting up with her again. I don't know why we keep going
God's sake, why are you doing this to yourself?
I don't know. I seem to be like the one that gives her work, you know. I needed someone to hold my bag on coach trip. Now I need someone to hold my bag while I go on tour. So I'm excited. We've labelled it as the your two least favourite queens doing the worst drag show you've ever seen. And
Wait, sounds fabulous.
Yes, I'm sure
we'll that was iconic.
I'm sure we'll be very bitter and very hilarious and give you all the secrets. But I know sister's a lot more loose-lipped than I am, so...
That's what people want, babe. Spill that tea. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, my memory's gone now. I've done Celebrity Coach Trip now. I can't remember Drag Race much, no.
How did you find Coach Trip? Funny enough, I was speaking about that at the top of the show because Stephen's off to Benidorm and that's where our one was going to go for the final day. Yeah. I didn't get to the final.
Did you know? Yellow card, red card.
I didn't get there. How did you find it?
I've still got my yellow cards.
did you love it?
It was the best. It was like a real... I don't want to say tonic, you know, like my brand new album available now. But it was really like the kind of anti-drag race in a sense of it was completely different. You know, it was a reality TV competition, but the vibe was totally different. So it did a lot of like healing for me. And I felt like a participant and not a contestant. You know, I kind of got on with the director and we made telly. That's what I was there to do. You know, it's reality, but it's all fake.
That's quite a good way to think of it.
Yeah, reality TV. Watching it back, do you feel it was well edited? That are you happy with how it came across, and did it seem true to life from your experience on the coach?
Oh yeah, we had a laugh. I mean, yeah. I just remember laughing so much, and I mean the stuff they did now, you know? And me and Linda. Oh my God, me and Linda Robson.
Love her.
We're like the two naughtiest kids ever. Like we were so naughty and we were just giggling and laughing. And I remember the last night, I can't go into too much detail, but the last night we celebrated just the two of us in a very particular fashion. And we were on the balcony and her, and we were just ripping into everyone, giving all the secrets, all the gossip. I'll tell you what, Linda Robson is probably one of the most amazing people I've ever met in my life. So us two are like the two naughty little kids.
I love that.
Out on the balcony tearing everyone a new arsehole.
Oh yeah we were
Well, Ginny, thanks so much for joining us this evening. Best of luck with the album and the tour and everything you've got coming up. It sounds really exciting.
Oh, pleasure, Trisha. That was nice and sweet. That was, I think, the last time I did this one. I ended up in the fucking Daily Mail for saying God knows what.
Did you? I don't remember that.
What did you say?
What did you say?
Oh, it was probably something about RuPaul or Drag Race God.
Oh, yeah, fab. Of course. Yeah.
Is there anything you want to read for the Daily Mail at the end?
They're listening.
RuPaul can lick my arsehole again. Again. She owes me a fiver.
Thank you, Ginny. Perfect ending. Absolutely perfect.
Love that.
Well, have a great day. I'll speak to you soon.
You too.
Take care, Ginny. Bye. Bye.
Obsessed.
I look forward to that article tomorrow morning.
Yeah, me too. Love it. Wow, what a lovely show. What have you got coming up this week, Bob? Anything exciting?
Training. So I've got a few training sessions in this week, trying to get back into the you know me, like the gym, don't I? Mm-hmm. But trying to catch up because I missed Monday because it was my birthday. And I always like to train on a Monday. I think it's just, I just see it in my head, I think, more than anything, starting the week.
Yeah, I
didn't train Monday. I was having porn stars at Selfridges.
Gorge. So
martinis, not
actual porn stars.
Not actual porn stars. So I'm going to try and, make up for that. And then the weekend, well, it's bank holiday weekend, isn't it? So I'm not too sure. I think the weather's meant to be nice. It's a bit cooler, which I'm not mad at, as long as it ain't raining.
Yeah.
So I think, maybe a bit of lunch, maybe a bit of dinner. What about you? Oh, you're back in the boat.
Yeah, back in the boat on Saturday. And then I'm going out Saturday night. I'm going out to a brunch on Sunday afternoon. I've got quite a bit on this weekend. I'm a busy bitch. And that's good because I had my quiet weekend last weekend. And then I always feel like I tend to go a bit too hard on the August bank holiday weekend. And I can already sense that's going to be the case. So
it's got to be done. It's always the weekend after my birthday. And I kind of think you've got to let your head down a little bit. So
completely agree.
And it's the last bank holiday of the year, isn't it?
Yeah, until Christmas. So
God, what a scary thought.
Be here before you know it. Cool. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Till next week. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.